That's a great Tony Collins in our five-star picks of the week. We've got our next guest, Wendell Davis, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Wendell on the other side of this real quick station break.
Folks, I want to introduce you to our new friends over at Kenibi and their line of CBD products. I used to wake up several times during the night, which made it hard to get out of bed in the morning, left me feeling less than myself all day. But I can tell you from personal experience, my sleep has dramatically improved since I started using Kenibi Nighttime Blend. Now I sleep straight through the night, wake up refreshed every morning. If sleep isn't your issue, they have a variety of products that can help you out. If you struggle with muscle aches after your workout or a day out on the golf course, or if you have first tee jitters or your knees lock up on your backswing, check out trykenibi.com. That's trykenibi.com. And look at their selection of tinctures, creams, gummies that can give you that edge after you exercise or while you're out on the golf course. And really just make all of your days better. Their hemp is 100% grown in the U.S., and you know we love that. And when you choose Kenibi, you're choosing prized harvest, expert extraction, and precision manufacturing using zero artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. So if you need help sleeping through the night like me, relief from muscle aches, or the pressure of a busy day, give Kenibi a try. Again, that's trykenibi.com. trykenibi.com. And if you use code TNT, you're going to get 20% off your first order. Again, trykenibi.com. You're going to be glad you did.
Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
All right, now back here on Thursday Night Tailgate and making his eighth appearance with us is former wide receiver Wendell Davis. Wendell has been a great friend of the show over the years. He first joined us all the way back on February 16th of 2012, which was episode number 22 of the show, and we're well over 500 episodes at this point. And so for over 9 years, Wendell has been a great friend here, and we just can't thank him enough. He is now the fourth inductee to our 2021 Guest Hall of Fame class. Let me remind you about his background, though. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana, played his college ball at LSU, where he remained second all-time in receiving yards, seventh in touchdown catches, and 12th in yards from scrimmage. He helped them win three straight bowl games from 1985 to 87, a win in the 87 Gator Bowl, and finished with a number 5 ranking that season. Wendell was inducted into the LSU Athletics Hall of Fame, not nearly as important as our guest Hall of Fame, but it's still a nice Hall of Fame, back in 2011. He was a first-round draft pick by the Chicago Bears in 1988, the 27th overall selection that year, played in the NFL from 88 to 93, all with the Bears. Over the course of his NFL career, he had 207 receptions for an even 3,000 yards and 14 touchdowns, and we're very honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Wendell. Chris and Bob, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Wendell.
Hey, fellas. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome. Fantastic, my friend. Congratulations on being in our guest Hall of Fame. Like I said, you're in the LSU Hall of Fame, which is nice. It's a nice little thing, but nothing compares to being in our guest Hall of Fame. And we are honored that you have been such a great friend of the show for almost 10 years now. We celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the show a couple of weeks ago. And you've been with us from almost the very beginning. So we thank you for that span of time. And we thank you for coming on a show back in 2012 with a couple of guys you never heard of on a show you never heard of. So we appreciate your friendship. You're outstanding, my friend.
Well, I thank you guys. It is indeed an honor to be in your Hall of Fame. I really enjoy coming on the show and talking to you and talking to Chris and, you know, you guys, over the years, the show has been always positive. You guys have always given the guests that you put on the show an opportunity to talk and to find out more about what they're doing, in their later careers, what they've done off the field. So, I mean, it's been a great pleasure to be on the show with you guys.
Wow, we appreciate that very much, Wendell. So I want to start our time tonight with you, Wendell, getting your thoughts on your LSU Tigers. At 4-6, I'm sure that's not the season you were hoping for, and things have sort of gone south since winning the national championship in 2019. What's your assessment of where the team is at and the job Ed Orgeron is doing?
I thought I was going to escape that question tonight. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. I would be lying if I would say that I'm disappointing. This year's been disappointing. I think last year was also disappointing to me. And for a lot of reasons. And I think there's, a lot of blame to go around. I hate to see where we are right now, as opposed to, after winning a national championship, having a perfect season, having some great recruiting classes over the years, and to see it all come down so fast, is very disappointing. I do continue to have hope, because I guys are still fighting out there on the field. You can see the talent that they have there, but, just something I think foundationally went wrong, over the years. And, as you guys know, winning can cover a lot of mistakes. As long as you're winning, you know, you overlook things. You tend to, not, especially sometimes as coaches, you tend to not, stress, the importance of, making, the right moves on a play, or making a tackle, or going an extra step, kind of look over the small things. And it's only when you start, losing that, these things become magnified, and, they catch up to you, and then you have the kind of seasons that LSU's been having in the last couple of years. So, that's kind of my take on it.
So, you mentioned foundationally things have not looked good. Is that what you think it's the problem is? It sounds like what you're saying is fundamentals haven't been, you know, maybe stressed as much as they could have, or things along that line. Mm-hmm. Is that where you think it started to go south a little bit? Maybe the athletes that they had, the Joe Burrows of the world, were able to make up for some things foundationally and fundamentally that maybe weren't as sound as they needed to be. And now that those guys are gone, here's where they're at.
Yeah. So, sort of. I think, like I said earlier, I think there's enough, probably enough blame for it to go around. I think, you know, foundationally, fundamentally, the small things, the small techniques. You had some hell of an athlete there at LSU, 2 years ago. They had a flawless season. I mean, you had great players at pretty much all the positions. You had great teams. You had a good offense, a good defense. You had a good special team. And, you know, sometimes those guys like that, man, can, their play, can cover a lot of mistakes. And, you know, sometimes you overlook, when you start overlooking those things, it can come back to bite you. But not only that, I think operationally, football operations, I think had a part in it as well. You know, running a college football team, it takes a lot of work, and there's a lot of things that should be done the right way that probably wasn't done the right way. And that finally caught up with him as well. So I think it's a lot of blame to go around there. But at the end of the day, this is where we are right now. And I think, you know, hopefully we could take the next best step to correct this thing and get us back on the right track.
Wendell, you've coached at that level. I mean, you're obviously an LSU Hall of Famer, but you've also coached at that level. You've coached at the NFL level. When you're watching what's going on at LSU, are you chomping at the bit? Is the coach in you? Is the Hall of Famer in you going, I want to get in that locker room. I want to say this. I want to say that. Is it hard because you know what's going on and you've been at that level and you've been at that school, to bite your tongue and not just want to get in the locker room and coach them up?
I thought about it. And I'm the first to say that coaching is a grind. It's hard work, and I respect everything that they do. And it's just no easy way, to do it. And I thought about it, for a short time. And then I was like, no. That's why I think I've had my time. You have it in your blood, playing at LSU, understanding the winning tradition. It crossed my mind. But I think they're correct. They're right to ship. I think, you know, getting in there, and if I was to do anything, I'd get in there and just to speak to them, just to speak to the players and try to and encourage them and kind of talk about, you know, what it took and get some of those guys that has that winning tradition, get them coming back to talk and, you know, kind of encourage the guys.
Bob, questions for Wendell?
Yeah, congrats, Wendell, and it's always a pleasure to have you on here. And after the great career at LSU, I want to talk about your rookie year in Chicago. You know, when you get to the Chicago training camp, you have a couple guys on the team, fellow wide receivers, the two Dennises, Gentry and McKinnon.
Yeah.
Wendell, I mean, those guys were pretty well established once you got there. You ended up playing in almost every game. But those guys got a few more snaps. They were very, very talented guys. Talk about them as mentors. I know you were competing for playing time with them, but as far as mentors, did they really take you under their wing? And how were these guys as teammates?
Yeah, both guys were great teammates. When I first got there, they welcomed me with open arms. Both Dennis's, McKinnon and Dennis Gentry. But Dennis Gentry, really, became like a big brother to me. He really, took me on his wing and really worked with me and, kind of taught me how to, be a professional. Cause, you know, a lot of people don't know that when you, you come straight out of college, you come with some habits from college and, you know, having somebody around to guide you and to mentor you and, to teach you how to be a professional is very important. And, Dennis Gentry was one of the guys who done that for me. It was the Dennis Gentrys and the Mike Singletarys and Thomas Sanders and, Al Harris, guys like that who played the game for a while and understood what it took to transition from just playing college sports to playing, having a job as an athlete. And so that was very important. But those two guys, they welcomed me there, and they taught me a lot.
Wendell, you had your highest reception total in the NFL in 91. We've talked about Ditka as being your head coach at the time, but your offensive coordinator back then was Greg Landry, who I remember when I was a very young boy being the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, you know, and he actually played on some not so good teams. He took a beating. He was just a tough kind of guy. But how was he as a coordinator? I know he actually went back to Detroit later in his years to be the quarterback coach there. But talk about Greg Landry that year.
That year, he was awesome. I mean, he was a former player who understood and really had a good relationship with the players. And I guess you would call him a player's coach. Because he understood the game well, and him being a former quarterback, really helped me, because that quarterback, receiver relationship is very important. So he kind of understood, what receivers are thinking out there. So, he did a great job of planning and game planning the game around, you know, getting the ball to me at times. And, he did a good job of spreading it out as well. So I thought he was, really at the top of his game, back in 91. And we had a pretty successful season throwing the ball. Cause you know, Chicago was not known for throwing the ball at all. You know who the workhorse in Chicago was. It was always that running game, and for great reasons, for the right reasons. You have somebody like Walter Payton and, you know, Neil Anderson and those guys. I mean, those are the workhorses. So, I mean, we were built around running the ball. And I must say when I got there, we really started concentrating a little more on passing the ball. I'm not saying we were setting the world on fire, but, we were passing the ball a lot more and, you know, it gave the receivers more opportunities to make plays.
So, Wendell, talk about Walter Payton, your relationship with him, and what made him so special.
When I got there, Walter had retired. I think he retired either the year before I got there in 87 or 86. He retired. But he was still around. Walter would come around Hallis Hall all the time. I think he was involved with the Chicago Bears, off the field a lot more then. So I really got to meet him and I really got to spend time with him. And I tell you, it's amazing, to see a greatness and to, you know, a lot of things that I know about him on the field was just the videos that you see of Walter Payton, and how, amazing he was with the ball in his hands and how strong he was. I tell you, this guy, I'm 6 foot and I'm taller than Walter, but I tell you what, this guy had the strongest grip that you ever could see. And people literally hated to shake his hand.
Wow.
When I saw him and he reached his hand out, shake it, I would hesitate and he would smile at you like, you know, you know, you're not going to shake my hand. He got the little sweet look on his face and then you put your hand in his hand and he squeezes the hell out of it and it's painful. So it was just amazing to be around him, and to, you know, just to be around somebody who, really is probably one of the greatest running backs of all time.
Wendell, another guy you spent some time with was Mike Singletary, not only with the Bears, but also, coaching with the San Francisco 49ers. Singletary was as intense a guy as I think there ever has been, both playing and as a coach. What was it like, spending time with Mike, on the Bears and then going out to San Francisco and getting to being a part of, his coaching staff?
Well, on the Bears, you know, you're playing on the opposite side of the ball to this guy. Mike was as intense as any of them, man. He carried it with him not all the time, but once he get on the field, that intensity, it could be in practice, it can be in the game. That intensity was there. And his goal is to not only get himself better, but to make you better as a player. And so he's going to give it all he has. He's going to give it all he's got. And he showcased that every day in practice and in every game. And he was a guy who, wanted to do things right. You know, but is the first guy to really come to help you when you need help. And he was a spiritual leader on our team. He really was our spiritual leader. He led our Bible studies, that we had, during the year. So he played a big role in that, as far as, in San Francisco when I was coaching, he carried that same intensity into coaching as, you know, he's famous for, sending people in locker rooms, I don't know if you guys remember that incident with Vernon Davis.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when he says something, he means it and he doesn't forget it. And he holds you accountable. That's probably his biggest asset was he holding people accountable. And he did that from, I don't care if you were the trainer, all the way up to the quarterback. He held people accountable and he stuck to his word. When he said he'd do something, he'd do it. And he was big on, trying to turn, I won't say turn football player, but, not only coach football players, but coach young men. And he was very big on that. And I think, Mike, if he's had another opportunity, would be a great coach, but I don't know. I don't know. Time might have passed him by now, but I really enjoy coaching for him.
Wendell, one more before we let you go. And I got to know when the city of Philadelphia demolished Veterans Stadium back on March 21st of 2004, were you there? Were you watching? Were you applauding? I imagine after leaving both of your knees out there on that AstroTurf, watching that thing come down, man. must have been a happy day.
You know, I did not watch it. Maybe I watched it after they did it, but I just remember I got a phone call before they imploded the place, and they really asked me if I wanted to push the button. And I just thought, I said, no, I do not want to push the button, you know, do what you have to do. That stadium was the worst. It was the worst. And, you know, when it went down, I'm sure a lot of players were happy. That they got rid of that stadium, because they got a lot of complaints, not only from the NFL team, but also the Major League Baseball. It was just tough to play in that stadium. And it's not only the stadium, and the fans don't make it any better, because they had some tough fans in Philly. They had some tough fans in Philly, man. I got booed after I got hurt. I got booed. As they were taking me off the field, they were booing me. Hey, yeah, you're in Philly, man. You're in Philly. They're tough crowd.
Wendell, before we let you go, remind our listeners what you're doing now.
Well, you know, I'm still working in supply diversity for a local steel company here in the Chicagoland area. Also, I am the president, going on my second term of the NFLPA Chicago chapter, Players Association, our union here for the former players. I'm the president of the Chicago chapter. And our chapter, we reach out to our former players just to let them know of what's available to them and their benefits. But we also work in the community. We give out academic scholarships each year, and we also, through a charity that we formed here in Chicago, we give out equipment grants to youth football teams to those who are in need of, you know, helmets, shoulder pads, things that that keep them safe. We give them grants to get some new equipment. And, you know, that's kind of what I'm doing right now. And, you know, just semi-retired and living life and just taking it easy.
Wendell, how can our listeners stay up to date with all the things you're doing, whether they're following you online or it's on social media?
Social media, I'm not great at that, guys. I got to get better, though. But social media, we are on Facebook. As the RPFPC, Retired Football Players of Chicago, You can look us up on there. Also, Twitter. We have a Twitter feed as well.
Well, Wendell, we can't thank you enough for being such a big part of the show over, like I say, almost the last 10 years now. You're absolutely one of our all-time favorites. It's always fun spending time with you.
You guys are amazing. I love coming on this show. And I wish you, how many years has it been?
10 years now.
10 years. I wish you 20 more years.
We appreciate you. Thank you, Wendell. Stay safe. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Stay well.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care.
See you, Wendell. That's a great Wendell Davis. And like I say, the fourth member of our 2021 guest Hall of Fame class. Bob, if I were Wendell and they called me up and wanted me to offer to press the button at the vet, I'd have gotten on the plane and pressed the darn button.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's some other stadiums you'd like to see go bye-bye to, Chris. You'd be the first to call for a few of them. But, it's out in a way. But, it's just the fact that it needed to be done is a story in itself.